2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. Scott Mitchell, Scotty G. It is Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Hey, visit the Ford Fan Zone on Level 6, where there are free pop-a-shot games, cornhole, and foosball tables. Enjoy incredible city and mountain views while relaxing, enjoying food and drink. Take in the game and socializing with, of course, your friends. Scotty G, of course, is here. He's a formidable replacement for old Alex Keery,
who's vacation. No. I'm just riding those coattails, man. Yeah. I'm just crack a mic, and I'll just try not to screw things up for you guys.
No. I was really excited. I really appreciate you coming and helping out today, and As you have mentioned, you know, we've never worked together before, and so I'm excited to do this. I'm excited about what's going on here at the Zone and what we're doing, and it's fun to be a part of it. And I know you're a big part of everything, so I just appreciate you helping out.
Well, no, it's an honor to be here, and like I said, I've always been a big fan of yours and what you've done, both, you know, as a player and as a coach and as a media guy as well. And so it's really cool to hang out and kind of pick your brain a little bit. And I apologize.
Pick away.
Because I was on the phone coming in here. I was actually talking to Lloyd about some other stuff we're working on. And I did not hear you go down memory lane on 1986.
Well, we can go again if you want.
Well, no, apparently it did not go well. The one time Utah played Ohio State.
Well, you know, it's kind of that out of the ashes of disaster come the roses of success kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was definitely a disaster. It was so. Well, first of all, it's just really cool, right?
Yeah.
Because when you know you grow up in a small town and you grow up in a very, you know, Utah wasn't a big state or what, you know, football. I mean, you know, there was kind of BYU football at the time, but. Going to the Ohio State University and going to the Horseshoe and watch so many games on television, and you know how they had the 10 and the big, you know, the big tent, you know, and that was the logo that was there, and you're like, man, this is it, you know, this is big time college football, and it was an overwhelming feeling because you always question yourself, you go, I don't know that I can do this. I mean, these, you know, and you're there for the first time, it's really hard. I mean, when I got drafted and I met I didn't meet Coach Shula before I got drafted by the Miami Dolphins, and he intimidated the heck out of me.
I would imagine.
And then Dan Marino was like, you know, he's my teammate, but he was like right next to me in the locker room, you know, and I'm just like I don't know that I may have said two words to him probably the first year I was there. I mean, I was just like cuz he was so good, you know. And there was this presence about him that was just bigger than life, and you know, and so it's just funny when you get in those situations where you meet your heroes, or all of a sudden you're among them.
Yeah, you're one of them.
And I learned really quick though that like if you don't perform, if you have no relevance, you're not here. You know, so you have to figure out, how do I make the team? How do I become relevant? How can I contribute? Otherwise, hit the road, Jack.
You're out.
You know. So it was a good wake-up call.
Yeah, I got to imagine that resonates pretty quick, and I know that game got away from Utah. But I think, you know, from your perspective, stepping in as a member of this University of Utah football team, and you were a redshirt freshman, right? So 1986 was your first year.
My very first year, yeah.
And then, so that's 86, so that's four, that's, 35 years ago?
Yes.
To now playing Ohio State in a Rose Bowl as a Pac-12 champion is a member of the upper echelon of all of college football. I mean, that's not a lie. That's pretty damn cool. Like, to show the trajectory of where Utah was and where they're at now, less than four decades later, is pretty remarkable.
One thing I learned about myself is I'm super competitive. Like, it's just a thing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my personality makeup. I don't know. Coming to the University of Utah at the time when BYU was the power, and not going to BYU, which was a big deal when I didn't go.
Did BYU
want
you? Did they?
So, yeah.
Oh, we don't need to go down that road.
No. What?
Well, I just didn't know if it was a sore subject or not, or if it was.
No. It's a sore subject. I didn't go there. Oh. So I'm related to Lavelle.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I went to all the games.
Yeah.
In fact, Gifford Nielsen was a family friend of ours, and he would take me to football camps at Utah State University in the summers when he was in the pros, and I was his roommate. So I had these, you know, really close connections to BYU, and I was a really good baseball player. Gary Poland's the coach at BYU. Yeah. At the time. So I was going to go to Utah and play or BYU and play football and baseball. Lavelle came into my house December 1st, 1985. You're our number one recruit. So it was a foredrawn conclusion I was going to go to BYU. And yeah. I didn't go. And I didn't go because I prayed about it. It really happened that way.
Yeah, that's all good.
But when I went there, we were terrible. Like, we weren't very good. And that was hard for me. And it was hard because I really felt that the school, the surrounding, it was like, this can be big time college football. I really believed it at the time. And so I left never going to a bowl game, never winning a conference championship, barely being above 500. I set all these passing records just because we were terrible.
You did get that win against BYU, though.
Yes, and that was the sweet moment of the time. And it was, because I think it was one of those things where, wait a second, you know, maybe there's hope here. Of course.
You had a premonition about this, apparently.
Well, it wasn't a premonition. I wore my good luck Kango hat all week long. I was sitting in the locker room before the game started, and I was looking down on the floor, and there was a penny right there, and I just said, find a penny, pick it up all day long. You have good luck. I picked it up, put it in my sock, wore it all game.
Is it in there now? Let's see. There it is, folks.
So that's me, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay. Do I sound like that?
The voice has dropped considerably.
Yeah.
Maybe it was how it was recorded. You're a little bit more like alto there. Now you're a good solid bass. Yeah.
It has to be how it was recorded. And that was Dave Fox. So Dave Fox.
That was Dave?
That was Dave Fox.
I didn't know that was Dave Fox.
That was Dave Fox interviewing me. And anyway, so yeah, that was a big deal. But to see it, to be here when it was pathetic.
Yeah.
At Utah, and to see all of that, to see how it changed, and because you care about it, you know, it's part of who you are. My experience at Utah was invaluable. Playing on the field, off the field, was just a remarkable time in my life, and I cherish it and I value it. And to see where it is today, and to see and that when Utah got to the Pac-12, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, you can now go to the Rose Bowl. Like before, it was like, you're a bowl buster and you might get on a New Year's 6 game, the Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, but you're never going to go to the Rose Bowl. And now you can. And I was just like, man, this is just, it's so awesome. And that competitive side of me was just like, yeah, get there. Come on, let's go. Yep. You know, kind of thing. And then to actually go to the Pac-12 championship and witness it and see it happen. I can't get over it. I'm not kidding. When this happened on Saturday, I was on cloud nine, and I just keep running it through my head. Like, Utah is going to the Rose Bowl. Utah is going to the Rose Bowl. And to be able to, in a small way, you know, call and be the color analyst on the radio, which is super fun for me to do. And I'm not a, you know, I'm not affiliated with, you know, I mean, I, to a small degree I am, but I'm not there coaching. I'm not there playing. I'm just a, I'm an alumni. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But to be a part of it in a small way, I'll take my crumble.
Well, I do think, and I'm the same way. I know what it's like because, you know, everybody, you know, afterwards, like, hey, you guys got a good win. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just called the game on the radio. I had nothing to do with it. But it's fun to be because everybody always asks, and I don't know if, if you've noticed this as well, but after, like, a big win and you come home and the next day, like, oh, I bet that plane ride was a lot of fun. Well, here's the thing. People don't know. 99.9. In fact, up until last weekend, 100% of all the charter flights I'd been on with a team were exactly the same.
Right.
Dudes are dead tired.
Yep.
They're worn out. They don't say hardly a word at all. And they're usually, because I don't know how Utah does it, but they usually put the guys on the plane first and then the boosters and the media and we come in at late.
Right.
And then they take off. And so you walk by these guys, they're all dead to the world. They're tired. Yeah. They're worn out. They're beat. You don't hear anything. And so I always said, you know what? It's boring. Like, there's nothing going on. Win, lose, it's always the same on a flight. Up until that last flight I had coming back with Utah State after they won the Mountain West Conference Championship game.
That was different.
That was different. That was loud. That was obnoxious. That was fun to really see. And because those guys were just in total celebration mode.
Yeah.
And I got to imagine the same was, I don't know if you're on the charter or not, but I got to imagine that was the same kind of thing.
Well, Utah State. They actually traveled home the next day. They actually, so I can only imagine whatever happened in Las Vegas.
Oh, they didn't fly out that night.
Stayed in Las Vegas.
There you go.
We were on our post game for 2.5 hours. I mean, we were just soaking in every possible moment, grabbed some dinner, and then I was, you know, I was out. My experience has been just what you've said. You have these, like, these big games and you're just so dialed into it and you're on such a high, and physiologically what happens is all of the chemicals start draining out of your body, you know, and so you just come down off of what happened. But you're like, oh, we're going to celebrate all night. This is going to be the most incredible thing. I know guys that have won Super Bowls have, you know, Steve Young even said that. He's just like, I just thought I was going to sell. And he says, I just tired. And I just went back to my hotel and, you know, kind of went to bed. And that's typically what happens. And I think, I'm not sure why, and maybe it's just the way athletes are wired, but there's just this, okay, it's over, you have your moment, and now it's like you're on to the next season. You know, it's like, I don't know that you ever really can fully appreciate or embrace or just value and cherish what kind of what you did. And I think it maybe is after it's all over, you look back and you go, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But in the moment, you're just like, next game, next season, regardless of the outcome.
It's probably, yeah, no, it makes sense.
It's my rationale.
Yeah.
For not winning a Super Bowl, that's what I'm just like, yeah, it's just, you know, having a moment.
But to see there's, because, you know, I was doing the media here thing in 2010 when Utah announced they were going to the Pac-12. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is crazy. They might win, you know, they might go to a Rose Bowl someday.
Yeah.
And then you realize, okay, well, here's the thing. Arizona's never been to a Rose Bowl.
Never. And they've been in the conference
since the early to mid 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you go and you look at how hard it is to get to this level and how hard it is to get to that point. And you can say, okay, well, the Pac-12's down. Well, sure. Okay, maybe. You can say that, I guess. But it's still going through a high-level, high-competition conference, and to be able to put your stamp on it, dump truck a team twice in 3 weeks that at one point was in the college football playoff top four, and to do it in such a resounding fashion, I mean, is just remarkable. Like, we always knew since this team was in the Pac-12, this day could come, but now that it actually is here is really remarkable. Same thing with BYU into the Big 12. Like, you've heard the Big 12 rumors forever. And I know it's not the same Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma, but now that they're actually in it, it's like, holy smokes, this is great. You know, and so this is kind of the salad days of sports here in the state of Utah. I really, truly believe it.
I've always said this living outside the state of Utah and living in places like Michigan and having big time programs and big time sports, and you go to Florida and live in Florida, and it's in the heyday of the University of Miami and Florida State and Florida, and you just go, you know, here you're in the state of Utah, and you can have two programs that are in Power Five schools, and I know people were upset, BYU fans, this and that, and you know, whatever about everything. But you're in the national conversation. You know, they're having Selection Tuesday or you know, Selection Sunday or whenever they're every week talking about the rankings, and you have BYU in the discussion, you have Utah in the discussion, and you think about moving forward, and you think about the rivalry game and whenever it resumes, and it should resume. It should always be there.
You're pro-rivalry game?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Good. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Yeah, because – yeah, it's college football, but it just – and if you have both these programs that are on even footing, it makes it even better, because losing it and the what's at risk from losing it, when those stakes go up, I just love that. And BYU being kind of in Netherland and in Independence was a terrible thing, and I've always believed it. And I'll just tell you about Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati – is in a conference, not a great conference, and they're now in the college football playoffs. And I just think being and having that conference affiliation has more cachet than just being out in kind of outer darkness. But the BYU is now in a Power Five school, and Utah is. The discussion every year, it's like now you're in the dance. Now, you know, whatever it is, like you said, and it just brings a national audience here to the state of Utah, and it raises everybody's level of play. It raises everybody's expectation. And you have these two universities that are within 45 miles of each other. You have over 100,000 people on a Saturday watching college football in these stadiums if they're full, because they're always sold out.
Yeah.
You know, whether everyone shows up or not, it's a different thing. And that's when football just becomes just so, so, so exciting. Imagine a Utah team that's ranked in the top 10 and 15 or whatever, and you've got a BYU team, and they're having a rivalry game, and they're two ranked teams playing each other, and they're Power Five schools. It starts to take on a significance more meaningful, like when USC plays Notre Dame. And that's a big game to those schools, and that can become an even bigger game, a more meaningful game for people in the state of Utah. But it also can maybe get pushed more on a national stage, because there's so much more that can be behind the winner and loser of the game.
I mean, I just how much fun it was just having Utah and Utah State play on those back-to-back days for their conference championship games. I mean, just imagine the day that BYU's in a Big 12 and they're playing in a Big 12 championship, and we have three games going on like that over the weekend. And I know the chances of that are pretty slim to none, but it could happen. And if that were to happen, I mean, I think we just take a step back. I know we talked about the coaches and the 3 years or the three different years that they've had and the kind of success that we've seen here in the state of Utah. But I mean, this is a really fun time for college football. And frankly, and I know we'll get to Kalani Sitake and some of the rumors regarding him coming up, but if they can lock down Kalani, I don't know how much Kyle wants to go. You know, Patrick Kinahan's been pretty strong in saying that he doesn't think he's going to be – he doesn't think he's shutting it down after this year. But I don't think Kyle's got a ton of years left in him, because I'm sure he wants to enjoy retirement. I hope Blake Anderson stays in Logan as long as he possibly can, and I understand the financial situation there where you may need to broaden your horizons a little bit. But if we can lock in coaches and see them here for a long time, my goodness, there's no reason why any one of these three programs should go back.
Well, that's what I want to ask you is, like, you got a guy in Kalani who I believe wants to be at BYU.
Yeah.
And he's the right person for it to stay long term. And I think you have Kyle at Utah, where a lot of the success comes from the continuity of things. And I don't, you know, I think he'll go beyond this year, but I don't know that he's going to go much beyond.
Yeah.
So my question was, you know, is a guy like Blake Anderson, or is there a way that you could kind of create that environment at Utah State? Because it's not the norm in college football. I mean, these coaches move on, they move places, and typically maybe these jobs in Utah are stepping stones. But I could see Kalani staying, and if it's Morgan Scally that replaces Kyle at Utah, Morgan's probably a guy that would. I mean, he played here. He spent his whole entire coaching career here. A little surprised he hasn't moved on, unless he thinks he's going to be here long term. But you know, if Scally can keep the program going, I doubt he's a guy that would leave as well. And could you create that scenario in Logan?
I would like to think so, but it's tough, and especially when like Matt Wells, a good friend of mine. After doing, the run that he had up at Utah State, and he's an alumni. I mean, he checks all the boxes. Yeah. But let's be honest, Matt Wells made more in his 2.5 years in Lubbock, and he'll get paid out. I mean, he'll end up making 30 some odd million dollars over the course of that contract. Well, it would take him about 30 years to be the head coach at Utah State to make that kind of money. And that's life-changing. That's send your kids anywhere they want to go to college money. That's making sure that they're able to get a house when they're adults. And
you can't turn that down.
Yeah, that's a leg up in life that you just can't you can't get if you just stay put. Now, I know $1 million in Cash Valley goes a long, long way. I'd like to give that a shot someday. But
you can get a lot of cheese.
Yeah,
of cheese up in old Cash Valley there with $30 million. Might be able to buy a dairy farm, maybe.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. I don't know where we're going to go.
I would
go
like a state, you know, like, you know, let's, I want to provide, you know, get a cattle farm that's solely for steaks, man. Just like, you know what? Get that Wagyu.
You know what? That would be fun.
Yeah.
I could do that. All right, we're going to head to break here. It's unrivaled. 97.5, 1280 Zone. We come back. Mario Cristobal's leaving.
Yes.
And are all these guys going to come back to Utah? The prodigal sons, will they return? And maybe some of these recruits, maybe they'll reconsider. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.